Well, praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We have a lot to be thankful for. Such a gorgeous day, and it's good to see everybody here. Right now, I'm asking that you check your baggage at the door. You know, the busy schedules, the things you got planned to do today and this week. You know, and all those other things, the things that have been worrying you and bothering you. Even the aches and pains, such that you can, check them at the door. For we are in God's living room right now. God himself is sitting here and smiling at us. So we are here to be in his presence, to hear what he has to say to us today, to worship him and to praise him. And it's hard to do when we've got all that other baggage that we're worried about. So we'll leave that at the door right now. So just want to welcome you and glad you're here. And now may the peace of Christ be with you. Please pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I feel like I should have on a snorkeling outfit or something. I told him I wasn't walking on that because I might sit there and play in the sand, you know. It looks so inviting. So if you would grab your bulletin and look, there is a memory verse for July. See if you can find it. Everybody got it? Okay. Repeat it with me, please. From 1 John 3:18. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth. One more time, the verse.
Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth.
Right. You know, when I saw this, I thought, we don't really hear too much from 1 John. I haven't read anything recently from 1 John, but he's got some good stuff to say in there. So it's a good idea to take a look at your Bible once in a while and see what's in there. Some good stuff hiding there for us. It's really not hiding. We just have to find it. Okay, welcome to everybody, whether you're a visitor or whether you've been here forever and ever or somewhere in between. And we invite you to sign the register pad, which is in the pew right near the center aisle, and pass it across so everyone can sign that. If you are a visitor, there is a shepherd's hook out in the narthex with some information on for you. And if you can't find it, ask one of the ushers. And they can get it for you. If there's somebody you know that's usually here that isn't here, give them a call or see what they're up to. If they're on vacation, hopefully they sent you a postcard or we'll bring you back some saltwater taffy or something good. That would be nice. Okay, and you do the same for them. Okay. Are there any other announcements? We do have Vacation Bible School, and if you hadn't noticed, a few different things. What?
Oh. Right Now Media. It's an online Bible study group. Right Now Media provides thousands of Bible studies. You can study books of the Bible. You can study topically. And how it relates to the Bible and that. These Bible studies are all done by some of the best-known Bible study leaders in the country, and they are available to you for free. We provide the service. All you have to do is contact the office, give them your name and email address, and Jeannie or Debbie will give you the instructions on what you need to do to log in. Once you log in on your computer at home in your pajamas with your cup of coffee in front of you, you can do your Bible study. There's all kinds of Bible studies to pick from. You do it at your own pace. If you don't like it, quit doing it and do a different Bible study. So you've got a lot to choose from. There's Bible studies for kids, young adults, and us older folks. So please take advantage of that. There are Bible studies for individuals. They can be done in a group setting. Do them with your friends or your family. But it's Right Now Media, and you have to call the office, and they'll give you instructions on how to get hooked up to that. Thank you.
Any other announcements? Was there anything about Bible school that you needed to announce, Penny? Okay. Okay. Is there an age limit?
Age 4 to completed 6th grade.
Oh, I completed 6th grade.
Just completed 6th grade.
Oh.
Just completed.
I'm sure you'd find a place for somebody that showed up. Okay. Thank you. Let's continue our worship. Please stand and join me in the call to worship and our prayer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have being.
Put not your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help.
Their breath departs. They return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish.
Happy are those whose help is in the God of Jacob,
whose hope is in the Lord their God,
who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them,
who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry.
The Lord sets the prisoners free.
The
Lord lifts up those who are bowed down.
The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the sojourners.
And upholds the widow and the orphan. But the Lord brings the aid of the wicked to ruin.
The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, from generation to generation.
Praise the Lord.
Let's join together in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our hymn of praise is number 159, Lift High the Cross.
children's moment. All right. Morning. Who loves us? Yep, God, Jesus, bunches and bunches and bunches. Who loves all of them? Yep, God loves all of them too. He certainly does. Hey, come on down here. Let's play a game. Let's play some catch. All right. I like this. I like catching ball. Sports is a lot of fun. I've played all kinds of sports growing up. And do you like, what else do you like to do besides catching ball? Playing softball? Okay. Do you ever play soccer? Soccer's a lot of fun too. How about swimming? You like swimming?
Yeah.
Okay. How about riding a bike? Yeah. So it's a lot of fun, you know, and this is a lot of fun. There's all kinds of sports. Sports can be a lot of fun. Come on up here with me. Can you kneel down at the altar? Yeah, just like that. This is what I call the hem of Jesus' garment. This is where we get real close to Jesus. Because it, believe it or not, it's a hard thing to get up in front of your friends and family, walk down here and kneel at this altar. A lot of people struggle with that. It's hard for them to do. But here is a special place because God sees the sacrifice you make to come here. And this can be fun too. You get to come here and just chat with God, to talk to God. And God listens. God hears you. And he likes that when you do that. Coming to church is a lot of fun. Sometimes we don't want to come to church, but we come anyways because it's what God wants us to do. Now let me ask you, what do you think is more important? Playing ball, riding our bikes and going swimming? Or do you think it's more important to come to church and to pray? Of course, I'm the pastor. That's what you would say. Yes, absolutely. Come to church. But, you know, for some people, they think it's more important to play sports than it is to go to things at church or to go to church meetings or church activities. They think that it's more important to do sports. I'm 60 years old and I'm old school. Sundays was all about church and family when I was growing up. And you didn't have sports on Sunday. But now we have all kinds of sports on Sunday, especially Sunday morning. You know, and sports, they won't save you. Sports might make you healthy, might help you learn to work with other people, and may teach you some things. But in the long run, sports aren't going to get you to heaven. But Jesus will. Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. And by coming to the altar rail, by praying, by coming to church, by reading your Bible, those are the things that put you in touch with Jesus. And Jesus saves. Jesus is the only way for us to get to heaven. So we have to believe in Jesus and we have to put Jesus first. We have to make Jesus more important than sports. Jesus is our number one priority. Okay? So, we've got to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, as it says. Let's pray. Put your hands on top of mine. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And God, we pray that you would fill up our hearts right now with your Holy Spirit.
We ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said? Amen. Amen. Okay, and
I'm going to tell you a little bit about how we can get to the highest place. Josh?
In the heart of every believer, there's a song that will never leave you. It's a song of love that gives new life. By our worship true and lowly, we draw near to one so lowly that his presence calls us to this highest place. The highest place is found through Jesus. No other name can lift us to God's throne. And on that day when we stand before the great I Am, we shall be like Him, for we've come to the highest place. The glory of His presence you can hear as the Spirit's calling unto us to give away our life to the grace which He has called us. On the road that He has shown us, that is leading unto the highest place. The highest place is found through Jesus. No other to God's throne. And on that day when we stand before the great I Am, we shall be like Him, for we've come to the God's throne. And on that day when we stand before the great I Am, we shall be like Him, for we've come to the shall be like Him, for we shall see.
Okay, our scripture reading this morning is from James, chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick man, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous man has great power in its effects. Elijah was a man of like nature with ourselves, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth its fruit. My brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. At this time, the ushers will come forward for God's tithes and our offerings. Living God, by your love and power, you give faith in Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Thank you for the hope and peace that you have planted in our hearts. Our spirit enables your word to bear fruit in our lives as we share your good news with others. We dedicate our tithes and gifts to the work of your church as we seek to continually reach out to share knowledge of the new life through the whole world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please be seated. All right. We come to that special time in the service when we get to say, this is what God has done for me. We get to praise God. We get to say thank you to God. And we'll start with our joys. What joys do we have that we want to share? Well, she had a dead battery yesterday and called AAA, and they sent out a young man who fixed the battery, and as he was leaving, he said, the peace of God be with you. And she said, also with you. That's pretty cool. Vacation Bible School is a joy. Absolutely. Joey? Andy, yeah, Andy Hawley is home. Still needs our prayers, but yeah, Andy's home. Other joys? Let's do it this way. If you're thankful that you had options for the clothes that you picked out to wear today, raise your hand. Okay, if you're thankful that you have options of what to eat in your cupboard and refrigerator, raise your hand. If you're thankful that you have indoor plumbing, raise your hand. We laugh, but there's folks that don't. If you're thankful for your health, such that it is. If you're thankful for your children and your grandchildren and your parents and grandparents. If you're thankful for this country that we live in, even though it needs a lot of prayer, we can go on all day. And these are the things that we say to God, thank you for. Any other joys? So for all of our joys, let's say praise the Lord on the count of three. One, two, three. Praise the Lord. Now, break out your pens and your pencils. Grab a piece of scrap paper, your bulletin, whatever it takes. Here's our prayer homework, because we are prayer warriors. Because we want to give the devil a black eye, because we want to help people. There is power in prayer. Fasting and praying, quoting scriptures, talking to God. And so these prayer requests that we're about to lift up, remember, it's our prayer homework until God releases us from that. But we have Andy. We want to also pray for the Spitznagel family. I understand Barbara is in a hospital in very serious condition with cancer. A lot of cancer in that family. All those who are traveling. My sister is traveling up from Florida to spend a few days with us. A lot of folks on the road this time of the year. Other concerns? Let's pray for our country. Our country and our country's leaders. That's biblical. You know, Romans 13. Pray for our country. Pray for those leaders. Barb? Okay, let's pray for Barb. For our church, pray for the church. For the church to, all over the world, the Christian church to stand up and be what God wants it to be. Okay, somebody relay that to me. Okay, Reston family? Oh, Wrestler. Yes, Wrestlers. We did that last week. Continue to pray for the Wrestler family. Yep, I did Bill's funeral. Okay. Alyssa. Okay. Okay, mental and emotional health. Okay, if you have for yourself or somebody else, doesn't matter how small it is, doesn't matter how big it is, if you have a request for God, in other words, we're not telling God how to do it, we're just asking God to intervene. And it's an unspoken request, raise your hand. God sees that hand and he knows the details. Let's pray. Let's pray, pray, pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this hem of Jesus' garment, the altar rail, which is decorated with Vacation Bible School stuff, Lord, it's still a point of contact for us, and we know that it's open anytime during the service. Lord, we also know that we can come to you right where we're at. We know that you hear our prayers. We know that you love us and you care for us very much. You know all there is to know about us. We can't hide anything from you. Well, God, we want to say thank you. Thank you for all the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. Forgive us, God, whenever we take those blessings for granted. And help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to share those blessings with others so that they too will come to know the love of Christ. And God, we believe, help our unbelief. We lift up into the light and love of your presence, Andy, Spitznagel family, all those who were traveling, God, near and far. We lift up to you our country and our country's leaders at all levels of the government, Lord. We pray for our leaders. We pray for a revival of your Holy Spirit to be in our lands, our nation. Come, Lord, no matter what our color, no matter what our race, no matter what our economic disposition, no matter what our age or our sex, fill us all with love for one another and especially with love for you. We lift up to you, Barb. We lift up to you, Lord, this church and the church universal, the Wrestler family. We lift up to you, Alyssa. We lift up to you, God, all those who are struggling mentally and emotionally, anxiety and depression issues, grief issues. And we lift up to you, God, the unspoken request too. God, we believe, help our unbelief. And we stand, Lord, by faith on your word which is absolute truth, that word that tells us that the chastisement of our peace is upon Jesus, and by his stripes we are healed. That word that tells us that we have favor with God and man, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. With you, God, all things are possible. Thank you for this word. And God, we will be careful to give you and you alone all the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now for our hymn of preparation. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. This is from the gospel according to Mark chapter 5, beginning with verse 21. Let us hear the word of the Lord. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she would be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her sin, her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered. "And yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. There was a community that really prided itself on how well they took care of their citizens. This community was wonderful, had all kinds of benefits for living there. The leaders regularly looked for ways to improve their community. Well, one day they heard about a great teacher, and they heard that this great teacher had a lot of wisdom to impart to people. So they sent for the great teacher. And on the day that was appointed, the great teacher showed up at the town hall. All the people gathered together in that hall. And the great teacher walked up to the podium, and she put her book down and she opened it up. And she said, "Do you know what I'm here to tell you today?" And everybody shouted, "Yes." And she says, "Well, then you don't need me." She closed the book, took her book, and walked away. Well, they were a little perplexed, so they sent an emissary to go and ask the great teacher to come back. So she agreed, and she came back. And on the day that was appointed, all the people gathered together in the town hall, and the great teacher walked up to the podium, opened up her book, and she said, "Do you know what I am here to teach you today?" And they said, "No." She says, "Well, then you're ignorant." And she shut the book and she walked out. Well, the town leaders were now convinced she had something great to share with them. They just knew that she had words of wisdom that they needed to hear. And so they asked her, they begged her, they pleaded with her to please come back. And she agreed. The people gathered together in the town hall. She showed up. She walked up to the podium. She opened up her book. And she said, "Do you know what I am here to teach you today?" They were ready for her. Half of the people said no, half the people said yes. And she said, "Well, then those of you who know can tell those who don't know." She shut her book and she left. Oh, they were frustrated. Really frustrated. But they had been reassured by other people that this woman had a lot of wisdom. They really needed to hear what she had to say. So it took some convincing, but they finally managed to get her to come back. And on the day that was appointed, the whole town gathered together in the hall. She walked up to the podium, she opened up her book, and she said to them, "Do you know what I am here to teach you today?" Nobody said a word. And she said, "Good, for now you are ready to listen." God has a lot of things to share with us. Sometimes, most times, we're too busy to listen. Or else we've already made up our mind what answer we want.
God wants us to be still and know that He is Lord. To open up our hearts to His Holy Spirit. To let us lead Him. Not to let us let Him lead us. I'll get that out yet. Proverbs chapter 3. Lean not onto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. Trust in Him. Here we are in Mark 5. A couple of things happen before the woman with the issue of blood. One is Jesus is out in the boat and a big storm rises up. The disciples go to Him. He's sleeping in the boat. And he said, aren't you worried we're going to die? And He says, oh, ye of little faith. And He gets up and He rebukes the wind and the waves. And the storm quits. And they are in awe. Then they put in at the Gerasenes. At the Gerasenes, there's a man who is possessed by many demons. He is totally out of his mind. And he comes running up to Jesus. Jesus takes control. And He casts those demons out of that man into a herd of pigs. They rush down the hill into the sea. The man is in his right mind. He's got clothes on. He's bathed. And the people in that community are afraid of Jesus. They ask Him to leave. So Jesus leaves, and when He puts in, when they get to shore and He gets out, there's a crowd of people there already waiting for Jesus. Word travels fast, and everybody knows that this is the man who is from God, who has been performing miracles, who has opened up the eyes of the blind, unstopped the ears of the deaf, made the lame to walk, and even raised the dead, healed the leper. And so these people all gather around. Then a leader from the synagogue, a Jewish leader from the synagogue, goes up to Jesus and says, listen, my little girl is at home dying. She's about 12 years old. She says, won't you please come to my house, lay your hands on her so she'll get better. And Jesus says, yes, I will. And so they begin walking through the village headed for Jairus' house. Now, villages in those days, their lanes weren't much wider than this. They didn't have two lanes. They didn't have automobiles zipping by each other. But they had narrow alleyways running throughout the town. And so as Jesus and Jairus were walking side by side on their way to Jairus' house, the crowd, all the disciples, the people from around the town, spectators, many of them, they were all crowded around Jesus and Jairus, pushing up against them, helping them as they were walking to Jairus' house. I'm going to ask. I know it's only my second week. After I get to know you better, I won't ask. I'll go around and point at you. But today I'll ask. I need, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I need at least 5 volunteers. There's 1. Don't get up. There's 2. 3 more. There's 3, 4. 1 more. Who's going to be that 5th one? There we go. 5. Come on up here. I'm not going to make you sing. I'm not going to make you dance. And I tell you, you want to hear next week's sermon about Peter getting out of the boat. Okay, stand here, big fella over here. Suzanne, can you just turn around right here? You can be, we'll make you Jesus. So you're going to stand right behind her, right here. Brian, right here. Stephanie, right here, turn. Okay, all 3 of you put your hands on Suzanne's shoulder. Connie? You're the little old lady. Back up here. All right. Some of us learn by seeing, which is why I like to do this. Here's this woman with this issue of blood. Jesus and Jairus are on their way to Jairus' house to see his little girl. There are people, all kinds of people, crowded around Jesus and Jairus. And they're not just 2 people deep. We're talking a pile of people crowding down this alleyway as they're headed for Jairus' house. There's this woman with this issue of blood. For 12 years, she's had this issue of blood. Do you know what that issue of blood means for her? Well, one, it means she's sick, frail. Also means she has spent all the money she has trying to find a doctor, trying to find a cure for her problem. You figure for 12 years it isn't killing her. I tell you what, it may not be physically killing her, though she may be wasting away. Socially, she's an outcast. According to Leviticus chapter 15, verse 25, it says that if a woman has a discharge of blood past what's normal for her monthly time, if she has a discharge, she's unclean, considered unclean. And if anybody touches her, if you come into contact in those in that day and age, if you touched anybody that had a discharge, not just of blood, but any bodily fluid, if you touched them, you were socially unclean. You were not allowed to mingle with anybody, not allowed to hold your grandchildren, not allowed to hug your spouse. You couldn't go out shopping. You couldn't bump into anybody. Because if you did, you had to go to the priest, give them an offering, and the priest had to pronounce you clean so that you can go back to living your life again. So for 12 years, this woman has been socially unclean, an outcast. And it says that she suffered under the care of many doctors. Sometimes the cure is worse than the disease. She's tried everything. And she is emotionally, spiritually bankrupt. She's a desperate woman. Tried everything the world has to offer. Nothing helped. And then somebody, Scripture says that somebody told her about Jesus. Somebody realized she had a problem, she had a need, and they knew Jesus could take care of that need. And so they went to her and they told her the good news about Jesus. And she listened to that report and she believed what she heard. She believed in her heart that if she touched Jesus, it would change her life. And so she turns her back on what the world says she's allowed to do and not allowed to do. She turns her back on the world, no longer conforms to its pattern, and says, I've made up my mind that Jesus is the number one priority in my life. And she goes out into the public where she's not allowed to be. And she summons up the strength and the courage to work her way through this crowd, a crowd that a professional football player would have a hard time getting through. But this little old lady who's been bleeding for 12 years, been sick, she forces her way through that crowd. And she touches the hem of Jesus' garment. Wait, let me join in there, Connie. Okay, go ahead. You touch Suzanne, okay? Oh, yeah, she did it. Touches the hem of his garment. Thank you. You guys can sit, please. Thank you. Now, here's the really cool part. Let those who have ears hear. Did you ever drag your feet walking across the floor in wintertime and you reach out and touch somebody and they're zap. You know that static electricity? It was kind of like that when this woman with the issue of blood touches Jesus' garment. Because he felt it. Jesus felt it. She felt it. There was power that came out of Jesus and went into her and healed her. Right now. There was no, Jesus didn't turn around and say, what do you want? What's the problem? Let's talk about this. This is what you have to, none of that. In fact, it doesn't say, but dollars to donuts, she came up behind him. He wasn't even looking. She touched him. And power leaps out of him. Now everybody else was touching him. All these other people hanging all over him while he's walking down the road. Nothing was happening then. There was no power jumping out of him into them then. What was the difference? She had faith. And not just faith, because his disciples had faith. They were touching him. She had a need. Well, you know what? She did have a need. She had a pretty serious need. Those disciples are also human. All us humans, we always got needs. There's something really important I'm after here. She had faith. She had a need. She expected something to happen. Yeah, she believed with her heart, but she expected something to happen. She had an expectant faith, an expectant need. She believed that when she touched him, something would happen. We come to church a lot because it's the right thing to do, because we like to come to church. We come to make somebody else happy. But we don't always come to church expecting power to come to us. We don't always come to church expecting a change in our lives. You know, we're sitting in the presence of Almighty God, the creator of the whole universe. Where two or more are gathered together in his name, there is he in the midst of them. But this woman, she touches him and she is instantly healed. Because when you touch Jesus, when you do whatever it takes, when you do what this woman did, and you turn your back on the cares of the world, and you don't care what rules and regulations or anything are, nothing is more important in life than Jesus, something happens. There's power that comes to us. Jesus said that we have to love him more than we love our children, our spouses, our family. We have to love Jesus more than we love life itself. Jesus has to be our number one priority. And when we do that, things happen. Now, I'm not saying we're going to get rid of the wheelchair, though that might happen. Because God is more concerned about our spirit being whole and healthy than anything else. But I'll not deny that there's been miracles too. Because the power of Almighty God, there's no greater power in the whole world. Not in all the universe. And this woman was healed because she touched Jesus with an expectant faith. Just like we were telling the kids, there's lots of ways to touch Jesus. Church, singing praises to God, reading scriptures, praying, hanging out with other Christians, even in church, coming to the altar rail, raising your hands. Us Methodists don't do that too much. You know, if you weren't here for my first sermon, then you don't know that I was raised Catholic till I was 13. So I love all the pomp and ceremony. I love high church. And then I went to a Methodist church, and I love the holiness of heart and the laid-backness of our services, the personal touch. And then we left that. We went to a non-denominational, charismatic, speak in tongues, get slain in the spirit church. I like to raise hands. And that's scriptural, too. It's not because of the church. It's because of the Bible. But it also says to me, when I do this, it says to God, I care more about God than I do about what people think about me. And it's not because I get paid to do that. Because I love Jesus. Well, I could go on and on and on and belabor the point, but I won't. That woman with that issue of blood, she did whatever it took to touch Jesus. Now maybe you have a need in your life and you need the touch of Jesus like you never have before. Maybe you know somebody. I'm sure you do. You know somebody who needs to hear the good news, just like somebody told that woman with the issue of blood about Jesus. Maybe you need to go and tell somebody, I know what you need. I know the one who can set you free. You need to touch Jesus. Maybe we just need to share that good news with somebody. Because we sure do live in a hurting world, and these are bad times, and they're just getting worse. So we need to stand up and be the church. We need to share the good news that if you touch the hem of Jesus' garment, there's power. God loves you, and so do I.
And now for our hymn of parting.
Just a couple of reminders. Vacation Bible School this week. This is where the children touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And the Right Now Media, please call the church office. Talk to Jeannie or Debbie and get signed up for that. That's another way to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And tell somebody the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And God, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we would no longer conform to the pattern of this world, but that we would seek your kingdom first in every area of our lives. So fill us with an overwhelming hunger for your holy word and with an overwhelming desire to seek your kingdom first. Help us, God. Give us the holy boldness to do whatever it takes to touch the hem of Jesus' garment and to share that good news with somebody else. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, Amen. Amen.